Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez. One more hour of show in this week, and then we gone.
Welcome to show.
Bye-bye.
Let's talk to Mike McFarland.
Mac!
Congratulations, Grandpa.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, four granddaughters. My boys need to find some pop in their back.
Wow.
I need a boy. I need a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Turning into the damn Lilith Fair around my house.
That's all right. You can have a hell of a softball team in a
That's
few
right.
years.
Well, the oldest, she's about as girly girl princess as you can imagine. The other two, yeah, they're the ones that like to get on the ground and wrestle and play and do everything else. So there's my third baseman, catcher, and a first baseman because she's going to be tall. And we'll work on it. Surround them with a good arm on the mound. We'll be all right.
Well, congratulations. I'm glad I'm glad everything went well. Mama and baby are healthy. Everything's good?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, I was in there yesterday, and it's, you know, parents understand it, and even more so as a grandparent, that instant connection and love that you feel, it's pretty cool. So everybody's doing great, guys. I appreciate it.
So let's talk some baseball. Cole Reagans did his job, six innings, only gave up a couple of runs, nine strikeouts, but as you heard Matt Quatrero say, they just needed to scratch across some more runs, and they could only get the one off the solo home run from Michael Garcia in the first inning. So let's start with the good stuff. Cole Reagans, what did you like out of his start?
Everything that we expect and have seen from him. You know, the crowd was getting him amped up. Two strikes on the batter and just tried to blow one by him. And I tell you what, Lewis' hands are just ridiculously fast. That makes it awfully tough. And he turned on that but settled back in. And that's about the only pitch he could probably say that he would want back. But you're right. You know, Vinny and Salvi 0 for 4. You know, someone's got to find a way to plug a gap out of the middle part of the order there. But look at Lopez. I mean, he's shown how filthy he is after giving up the, you know, he hung a slider to Michael and he deposited it, but just filthy after that and when he settled in. Seven innings on opening day for the Twins. You can't ask for anything else.
Mac, I was saying to Steven, you know, it's always great to win on opening day, but when you lose one of your best players, maybe your best player, to a muscle pull on opening day, I just feel like that's a terrible way to start for the Twins, because you tell me, but I feel like in the years I've watched baseball, when a guy has a leg muscle injury, like right out of the gate, you wonder, man, is that going to linger? You know, because it seems like guys try to come back from it, right? I mean, how big is that for them?
From that standpoint, you're like, you got to be kidding me, number one. Two, I need to hurry back and get back in this lineup. I don't think it's a Byron Buxton issue where, you know, everything just compounds it with him. But still, he's going to want to get back ASAP, push the trainers to get him healed, to get him ready. And then it's a matter of, okay, you're running well. Do you throw him right back into the lineup, or you let him go down and get some more at-bats in AAA to find the timing? All that stuff wears on you, but I'm sure that management went into the locker room and, all right, who's going to step up for us? Someone's going to have a chance and an opportunity. Let's see who can take advantage of it. But, I mean, that kid can flat-out play, and it's just a shame that it happened two at-bats into the damn season.
Did you like the construction of the lineup for opening day?
I did. I really liked it. You know, it boils down to the fact that you can have the lineup set up where you have some additional fielders downstairs, you know, down at the bottom part of the order. So seeing that really adds to the depth of it with some veteran presence. So as far as that goes, I love the lineup. I thought it was perfect, and I was really pleased to see, you know, Menendez MJ swinging it pretty well. Just hope he can settle in now, not having to think that he's one of the guys and just be one of the guys by contributing on a consistent basis.
What do you think the key is for him? I mean, outside of just not putting too much pressure on himself, what does he need to do to have a decent start?
Well, I just calm things down. I think he gets amped up in certain situations and takes himself out of his approach and his game. And when you see that front shoulder flying open, you know that he's trying to muscle up on pitches. But you've also seen him when he's nice and loose and relaxed, he can stay on a breaking ball and elongate his swing so the barrel finds it. And that's when he, like, flicks the ball, into the left center gap that you're like, how the heck did he do that? It's just a matter of him being able to stay on the off-speed pitches and force those hands to stay inside the ball a little bit longer. His bat speed is off the chart. His hand speed is off the chart. I just think, I don't want to say immaturity, which I think he's past that now, but just the fact that I think he tries to do too much in certain situations is his downfall.
Okay, so when you look at the roster of these two teams, Minnesota's considered the favorite, the pretty heavy favorite in the AL Central, but the division is considered mediocre. And the Twins aren't considered a great team. They're just considered the best of the AL Central. When you look at these two teams, how big of a gap is there, in your opinion, between the talent on the Royals roster and the talent on the Twins roster?
Well, with Lewis being out, not much. I'll take our ace with their ace any day of the week. We'll just see how the rest of the rotation bears out, but when you have some veteran presence that can go in there that are strike throwers and can change speeds effectively, I like it. Don't go to sleep on Detroit. They have arms, and they have arms coming out of the pen. They have arms on the mound. It's just a matter of if they're going to be able to hit enough. The White Sox, okay, they're going to be the ones down at the bottom. They're trying to figure themselves out. And Indians, they can swing it, but their arms, other than Bieber, are just so. I like I said before, this Central Division is wide open. And to me, it's going to be the team that gets hot in the month of June, in July, and sustains, finds their groove, and gets on roll that's going to end up coming out on top. But I'm 100% in belief that this Royals team is going to be significantly better than it was in the past few years. I just think once they get going, they start to find themselves offensively. They're going to put runs on the board. The back end of the bullpen looks good. I'm just looking forward to a solid season from these guys.
I think one of the biggest pet peeves Steven and I always have at the start of the season is we get a day off after opening day. All right, we all got excited. Now we'll sit around and watch college basketball tonight, wait for the game tomorrow. But we get to see Seth Lugo, and I'm hoping, Mac, that he goes out and shoves just because that'll be one more point for me to say, see, spring training, don't worry about the numbers in spring training. What are you expecting from him, not just in tomorrow's start, but for the season?
Well, like I told you, in the National League, all I could talk about was his spin rate on his off-speed pitches and the movement on his fastball. It's not a comfortable at-bat against him when you have three quality pitches that you can throw for a strike. I mean, I can go back and tell you 1,000 times how pitchers in spring training are working on specific things, especially free agents that have signed. They have their place. They're veterans. They know what they want to do, and they're working on it. So getting shelled and getting rocked and things along those lines isn't necessarily an indicator of how the season's going to go, let alone somebody hitting 480 in spring training and starting the season off 0-for-20, something along those lines. Everything gets amplified, and once the lights turn on, I expect Lugo to do well. And trust me, when that breaking ball's on, you're going to see some frisbees being thrown up there.
So you mentioned the White Sox being at the bottom of the AL Central. They played the Tigers and lost 1-0 yesterday. And the White Sox became the second team in baseball history to have 0 runs, 0 walks, 0 extra base hits, and at least 10 strikeouts in opening day. The only other time that happened was in 1967 when the Giants faced some guy named Bob Gibson. So at least they had a reason. They had an excuse.
He wasn't too bad.
And so there's the point that I'm making here is the White Sox, they're really bad. And so the Royals are clearly better than them. They'll have a chance to fatten up on the White Sox. They can compete. And I think they have a better, you could argue they have a better roster right now than the Guardians. You're right about Detroit. They have an impressive group of arms. But we'll see how they match up with the Royals. The Twins are going to be tough, but the Royals can compete in this division, and they can hopefully take advantage of their games against the White Sox and build some confidence and build some wins.
Exactly right, and analytics be damned.
That's right.
A couple of them even picking the Royals to exceed expectations this year. As do I, and yeah. Being the hopeless love of the Royals that keeps me going and watching games, I truly believe this might be the case this year, especially with some of the clubhouse guys that they brought in Frazier and Renfro and those type of guys that have been through it, that have been through the slumps, been through and know how to make those adjustments when things are going south for them at the plate. That's going to bear out. And, Salvi stays healthy. Bobby picks up where he left off last year, and again, regardless of how Vinny swung in spring training, he's still got to settle into the bright lights again and get settled back into his groove, which I know he will, because he just has a simple approach: go up, get the hands ready, and turn it loose. It makes it fun to watch. So, yeah, I'm still very high on this club.
And to your point, another guy that I think they're really hoping can come in and add to the culture in the clubhouse is Will Smith.
Waiting to see him. You'll like his demeanor on the mound. He can just as easily give up two straight hits and get a ground ball and a fly ball and get out of the inning and find his stuff. But very effective breaking ball. When you're a closer for a World Series team, and an effective reliever the following couple of seasons, his stuff is still good. But there's no panic in the guy because he's been through the biggest games that there are at the end of the season.
Mike McFarland is our guest. I've said several times this week that I believe Michael Garcia is going to have a breakout year. And when we talk about Bobby Witt Jr. and talk about Vinny Pasquantino, we should talk about Michael Garcia. I love the fact that they have him on top of the lineup hitting leadoff. I was glad to see him hit a home run yesterday and get off to a good start. But what do you see, offensively and defensively from that kid? Because I know they think that he could be a star.
I think he already is. He's not a secret around the American League anymore. He can flat out swing it and put bad pitches as far as a good pitch from the pitcher that are tough to hit. He finds a way to flick at it, either foul it off or find a hole with it. He just has that keen ability to stay extraordinarily on balance on a consistent basis and has the hands to match it. But he's not a secret anymore. It's just nationally, but among his peers and among other players on teams, they know this kid can flat out play.
All right, give us an idea of your expectations. Jake let us know that yesterday, before opening day, the Royals, according to Vegas, the Royals over-under for wins this year, 74.5. And look, that doesn't sound great, but that would be a huge leap from what they did last year. So I'll ask you, how many wins do you think is reasonable for the fans to expect for the Royals this year?
The hopeless romantic in me says 500. I think they can get to that point. I really do. It's just, can they stay healthy? Do we get to see Tatis down in the lineup for Velasquez? Does Isbell settle in and put the ball in play consistently? Do the arms stay healthy? Is it everything about the starting staff that we want between the veterans and young kids come together through their leadership, and Reagan's taking that next step, becoming the elite of the elite pitchers. I really think though all those possibilities are in play. I just feel that with the extra pressure that's kind of the pressure that's off some of these younger guys, and the development more of Jenny and Bobby and Garcia, I think he got a pretty good 1-5, 1-6 lineup. Fill in on the bottom part and go get them. But very impressed with them right now.
It's going to be exciting, Mac. You know, we're looking forward to a good full season with you, buddy.
It's going to be fun. Trust me. It's going to be an exciting brand of ball, and I think we're going to have relevance once we get into August. I really do.
Hopefully, are you talking about the show or the Royals?
Yeah, we'd well, like that to too. I mean, that's a given.
Love to be able to be relevant. Hey, Mac, thanks for the time. Again, congratulations on another healthy grandchild, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, boys. Take care. Have a good weekend.
You do the same thing. That's Mike McFarland.
We got to get Mac to this Border Patrol party we're having at the Royals game.
I need to know that someone's actually doing the legwork. Are you starting to make some calls, any connections?
Zero work has been done.
Right. Jake said he has it all under control.
Oh, we're handing it off to Gabe. I think that's a great decision on your part, Jake.
He'd love to do that.
I think that's a delegating is an undervalued skill in this
Absolutely.
World.
Absolutely.
I'm learning. Why do it yourself when you can find somebody who's better at it than you?
100%.
Oh, boy.
You all right over there?
Yeah. No, I'm just sad. Baseball started, no rotisserie team. I'm looking at box scores, and it's just empty. It's an empty feeling for me. It's meaningless to me.
Hmm.
It's an odd feeling, you know?
Yeah.
I've investigated
some. 25 years? How many years? 30?
35.
Wow.
I'm sad for you with that whole thing.
Years, yeah. And I even, like, some of the owners are now scrambling, like, trying to put together a last-minute offer. I don't know what's going to happen, man. Just like some people, I mean, just moved on with it, man. Just done doing it. And that's one of the joys of my life that I've carried over from being a child is reading box scores. Because that was one of my obsessions when I was a kid. Getting the sports page and reading box scores. And reading, so I couldn't wait till the Sunday paper for all the statistics for the AL leaders. Right? I always looked forward to it. I loved it. I love looking at box scores now. But, you know, unless I become a heavy gambler like Jake when it comes to just the game by game basis and things like that, it's an empty feeling right now. You know? Even the anger of one of my pitchers getting blown up, I miss that too.
Right.
You know?
There's a void there.
But I've investigated. There's some online leagues I might try my...
I mean...
I don't know.
Yeah.
What?
Did everybody want to fold the league? I mean, was it just a couple guys? I mean, I don't want to get too deep into the league.
Well, the commish retired.
Right.
Didn't want to do it anymore. And the two out-of-town guys, I think that kind of eliminated them. So I think we have like 7 or 8. It's just... I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just where I just take a year off. Somebody did offer to get me into a league, but shockingly, I got back to him too late after seeing all the messages and everything. And so,
just take a year off?
Right. Don't know what you got till it's gone.
How'd you do in your last season? Did you win the league?
I won.
Yeah.
I won the...
AL?
I won the NL, and I was always better in the NL. Because my Royals bias didn't affect me, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I won in the AL, but not as many times as I did in the NL because I just the Royals thing.
I'm going. Max bet on Unieski Betancourt.
It was a part of it. I was one of the Royal. I go too far on
Salvi.
I never really had Salvi. I was always a goofball looking for the Royals closer, you know. Or I mean, I did have Michael Garcia. I can promise you that.
Yeah. Poor timing.
No, I know. I have him in my heart, though. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Where do you go this weekend?
Going down to Houston, H-Town. At, Houston Dynamo taking on San Jose. I'll be finding a nice spot to watch the Houston Cougars play tonight down there.
Back to Houston, Houston, Houston.
A lot of concrete.
A little what?
A lot of concrete in Houston. Tall buildings, parking garages.
Lots of interstate.
A lot of highway.
Going back to Houston.
Houston, man.
Houston.
Houston.
Houston. I've never been to Houston.
You know, it's got its spots.
It's just so massive.
It's just huge. It is a sprawling city. But the weather's supposed to be decent down there. You go down there later in the year, it gets swelteringly hot and humid. But I'm excited to kind of see what the atmosphere is like down there for this NCAA tournament game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See my buddy Melvin.
What are you expecting?
I don't know. He said town's fired up about it. It's hard to get. It's hard to cut through the noise in Houston. It's such a big city, you know. They got every sport. They've got. I guess they don't have hockey.
Rockets are on fire.
Rockets, yeah. Rockets have been hot. Obviously, the Astros take up a lot of space down there. It's a big Texas. I don't know if you know. It's a big football state, Steven. So they care about their football down there. But it's just a big, big city. Sporting Kansas City play at Toronto tomorrow. And Toronto were the worst team in Major League Soccer by far just last year, but they have a new coach and they're off to a hot start. You'll like this kind of this. I think you'll get a kick out of this story. So Toronto is one of the teams that spends the most money in Major League Soccer in a big international city there. They get a good following, so they spend a lot of money on players from overseas, especially Italian players, because there's a big Italian demographic in Toronto. And they brought in a couple of guys that were stars in Italy. Last year, those stars were not exactly engaged. And one of them, there was a big like expose article that was written about it, was known to be vaping on the plane, like wow, on the way to games and things like that. My favorite quote from the article was, "Just stop vaping, bro."
Well, like we're talking about vaping, like vaping tobacco, or
I don't know,
vaping like
not sure.
THC.
Good question. I think there's
a difference. Like you know, if you're addicted to nicotine, you just need a little nick fit.
See, that seems like either's great for your lungs, probably if you're trying to be a soccer player. But I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Not great, but it's not.
Would
like,
you call it a nick fit?
Yeah.
But they're winning a lot this year, Toronto. They got a new coach. These high-priced players seem like they've kind of bought in a little bit now. Insigne and Bernadeschi.
I've given up a lot of things in my life. Tobacco might have been the hardest thing I've ever given up.
Was that because of the nicotine and the tobacco you were consuming, though?
Yeah, I used to chew tobacco a lot. A lot. Especially after I quit drinking. And when I was drinking, I smoked a lot. Cigarettes. But as soon as I quit drinking, I quit smoking cigarettes. But I started chewing more. But, I mean, I've been chewing since I was in high school. And giving that up, probably 2018 now, 2019. If
the
guy's just sitting there, you know, hitting a vape pen nicotine. I mean, if he's smoking THC, it's probably a little worse if you're a soccer player. I don't know. Maybe not.
The quote that I told you actually came from former Sporting KC forward CJ Sapong in the article. He said, "Bro, just stop vaping."
On the plane?
I think
that might break some regulations.
You get Samuel L. Jackson to do a sequel, Vapes on a Plane.
Did you ever see the first one?
No.
Yeah.
Did you?
No.
Yeah, I couldn't handle that. The trailer looks so bad.
Oh, so bad.
I'd say no to that one. No.
Yeah, this was Michael Bradley, you know, the former USA team captain, was on that team in Toronto. CJ Sapong was asked about Bradley and Bernadeschi feuding over the Italian vaping in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Stryker said, this is where I challenged a lot of my teammates and a lot of perspectives because that seems simple, right? It's like, bro, just don't vape. But if that person is just someone who decides they're going to do what they're going to do, then at the end of the day, well, I guess he's just going to do that.
Well, I mean, that's pretty aggressive.
Vaping in the locker room.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you're going to do it, like, you know, do it in your own privacy, your home or your car.
Well, people vape everywhere. They don't care.
You got coaches in the NFL vaping on the sideline. Yeah.
Well, I mean, being an athlete, though, like, that's your, I don't know.
Maybe it gives them that extra edge.
Yeah, right. Give them that. Gives mine right before the
I mean, they do say that, like, nicotine is a nootropic. Like, they're like, you know, doctors, like Stanford doctors who sit there and just chew nicotine gum, right, while they're, like, running their labs and stuff. Like, it's, so, I don't know.
It's like a stimulant or something?
Yeah, it's a big-time stimulant. But they also say it's, like, it helps you think clearer. I don't know.
Well, Toronto brought a new coach in. Who used to be the national team coach for Canada, and he seems to be getting the Vapors on board. They're 3-1-1, so that's going to be a tough game for Sporting Kansas City this weekend at Toronto. I did a game in Toronto last year, this time of year, like it was in April, and their stadium is right on the lake. And I don't know about if you know about this, Stephen, but this time of year in Canada, fairly cold. 40-mile-per-hour winds just whipping right off the lake in that game, and it was a crazy game. I hope the weather's all right for Sporting when they go up there. That's going to be a tough game for them, and they got to try to bounce back because they
laid a turd.
Well, they were up 2-0 until they were losing 3-2.
It's a bad game last weekend.
It's going to be 45 degrees in Toronto tomorrow, so that actually be fairly good for them. So
let's take a break back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you. I'll give you one more post-game interview from opening day yesterday. Royals lose 4-1 to the Twins. Let's hear from the star of the team, wasn't the star yesterday, although he got on base a couple of times. That's good to see. Bobby Witt Jr. spoke with the media after the opening day loss.
I think I just missed some pitches, kind of as a team, but then also he just kind of, he's their ace, so kind of got to get on him early, and so, yeah.
Speaking of aces, what would you like from Reagan?
It's incredible every time he goes out. It's like people say, oh, he's down, look up, 10 strikeouts, so it's just... He's the ace, like I said, like we were talking about, but it was a lot of fun to watch.
Bobby, you guys didn't have a lot of opportunities, but the ones where you got a couple guys on earlier, at least one, you know, MJ was on early. How important is it for you guys to take advantage of those, especially early in the season, to kind of get a little confidence?
Yeah, definitely. Anytime you score runs, that gives you confidence, so that's definitely what we're going after. And so just kind of we learn from today, move on, have an off day tomorrow, and we're back at it Sunday, Saturday.
How was this opening day compared to others for you?
The weather was a lot better, but yeah, it was just the fans, electric. It was amazing seeing all those fans out there. Yeah, we didn't pull off the win for them, but I know that just kind of gives you a sense of urgency. We want to get back winning because just that eruption of the crowd noise and everything. It's a lot of fun just to see that and just be part of that. So definitely get back to work.
Michael leading off that home run, you know, what did you think of that? And just the confidence gas leading off.
Yeah, it was electricity. It was awesome. Fired us all up. It's a good kind of starting point. We build off that, build off Reagan's, and then keep going from there.
Did you happen to see Coach Reed's first pitch? Were you watching that?
Kind of out of the corner of my eye, yeah, I saw it.
Threw a strike, though, right? That's pretty good. It's embarrassing. You know, sometimes guys get out there, and Travis Kelce had a rough one. I don't know if you've seen that video.
He had a second chance. He threw a strike to me, so, yeah.
Right, yeah, he did better the next time. Can you imagine kind of what they're going through out there and it's not really their game doing that?
Yeah, it's just I don't really know how to answer that, but I guess he seemed like he was fine in the dugout before. And so, yeah, he's been on bigger stages than that, I believe, so, yeah.
Bobby, going back to spring training, this group of young guys had so much confidence. How important is it to kind of flush this one as game one and go forward?
Yeah, you learn, you build from it, you go over it, we'll talk about it, and then you move on. Like you said, enjoy tomorrow off day and then get back at it Saturday and get the thing going.
Bobby, regardless of how this outcome would have been, where do you just place the importance of April, considering how last April went?
Yeah, you just got to just take it day by day. You can't really focus on the whole month. You focus now on Saturday. And so really, if we could just do that, control what we can control, go out there, prepare the best we can prepare, then things will fall into our hands for sure.
Bobby, Cube constantly says that today matters the most. How easy is it to find you as a player?
Yeah, if you could just kind of focus on that, I think that's when all the worry and everything goes away. And so that's kind of what we're still continuing to do, because it's, if you look at last year, it's hard to kind of go day by day when you're losing so many games. So now you got to focus on just the process, go about the wins, know what you're grateful for, and then kind of move on and then take those losses and improve from it.
And what makes Pablo Lopez so challenging as a starter?
I would just say he just kind of mixed up the pitches, and just so he's an all-star for what he is. And so, yeah, it's just kind of got us today, and so hopefully get back going.
That's Bobby Witt Jr. No Royals game today, so there you go. Here's an interesting Twitter feud that's happening right now in real time.
Oh boy, tell me more.
Didn't expect this one. Didn't have this one on my bingo card. Antonio Brown has already been active on Twitter.
As
I showed you guys. We're not going to talk about that one.
Good. I'd rather not.
We're not going to talk about that one.
Guys, slightly entertaining.
You see these questions that people ask just for engagement? And so someone named Julie tweeted out, a fictional character's death that you have not gotten over. Antonio Brown responded with a picture of Damar Hamlin.
Jesus.
I don't understand.
Boy.
Right. Damar Hamlin sees it and has responded. You just DM me on Monday. Guess you playing lame games on Twitter with my situation because I ain't DM you back. I pray God don't ever let me turn into a burnout old head like you. I used to look up to you. This blank sad for real. Talk about a clone. Bring back the real AB. Clown emoji, thumbs down. So. Probably time to log off Twitter.
Yeah, it's...
What about that one, though?
Yeah.
What are you out of here?
Team Antonio Brown.
Weigh in on this Antonio Brown, Damar Hamlin Twitter for you. This,
I think Antonio Brown's got a lot of issues.
No, man. I like him. I'm on his side.
Come on, Jake. Come on, Jake.
Hashtag clone.
I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not even sure why I shared it. It's NFL. It's relevant, you know? Did you think that was a feud that I was going to tell you about?
I didn't know what was coming, and that you know, certainly surprised me.
My job's done, then. I'm going to go home, go to sleep.
Go Zags.
Happy Easter, everyone. Everyone have a wonderful weekend right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.